And this is Rachel.
And this is Good Girls Don't.
And welcome back.
Yay. And you just heard the Chipmunks singing a dirty song.
Yeah. I think there's a little explanation needed for that.
Yeah. You give that because I don't really know it.
I didn't do it. So our friend Becca.
I didn't do it. Good one.
Not me. So our friend Becca posted on our Facebook page for Good Girls Don't that she knew the song, our theme song, through the Chipmunks version. And then she realized that, hey, maybe that's not the most appropriate song for little cartoon animals with squeaky voices to be singing.
Not really.
I never really thought about it. Actually, I had never heard the Chipmunks version before.
I didn't know that existed.
I didn't know it existed either. But so then, of course, we had to go listen to it.
Well, then my favorite thing, Bobby said, yeah, does he talk about when she's sitting on my face? Well, no.
So I guess there was. So what I didn't know is that there was also a single version of that song that was released.
There'd have to be, right?
So I guess like a radio-friendly version. Yeah. So the Chipmunks recorded the radio-friendly version, i.e. the kid-friendly version.
But even the single version, though, it's still like it's Good still, Girls Don't, But I Do. Like,
yeah, it's still. But here, you think about it, though. So if like the Chipmunks are singing that, or even if they're not singing it and you're just a kid and you're hearing that, it's going to go right over your head.
I mean, seriously.
Think about the things that you liked when you were a kid, and now, like, as an adult, it's like you had no clue what that person was actually.
Have you ever watched Looney Tunes as an adult?
Oh, they're awesome.
Time ago? Well, some of them are very racist and horrible.
Well, yes, I agree. Some of them are very racist and horrible. But some of the humor on the non-racist and non-horrible ones are very adult and very sophisticated. And the jokes go right over your head.
Speaking of things going right over our heads, you have something to clear up in the Department of Rumors and Lies.
I do. So this has actually been weighing on me pretty heavily for the last few weeks. I think on our first episode, maybe, or our second episode, we were talking about the Republican candidates. And this was, the field was still a little more crowded at that point, but we were talking about who, I think Rubio was still a candidate. Yes. And so we were talking about Rubio was the one that we would do if we were forced to do it with one of the Republican candidates.
Forced to do somebody, which I think is actually called rape, but...
Yeah. Well, no, if we were... Okay, yeah, never mind. Anyway, I was talking about, like, if we were locked in a room with all the Republican candidates, then John Kasich seems like the sane one, and he's the one who I would want to comfort me. And now, the more that I think about it, and the more time that passes, I realize that's, like, the worst statement ever, because I think John Kasich is actually... To say that he's the sane one is really not saying anything at all.
Well, no, it's not. But but you were being comparative, though.
I was.
In that situation, who would you want to comfort you? Not Cruz.
No.
Not Donald Trump.
No.
I'm going to say you should stick by what you said.
But it just bothers me because he's so anti-woman.
Well, yeah.
And earlier in the campaign, there were clips of him being really condescending towards young women who had come out to his rallies. And so he really bothered. Yeah. Like he told somebody at a college rally, asked him a question. And I think she wasn't necessarily there as a Kasich supporter, but she asked him a question and he told her to something to the effect of don't worry about it and go to a Taylor Swift concert, which is really just,
you know, in his defense, there are some millennials I might say something like that to. I'm just saying.
Okay. But what if this young lady was like the most avid Bernie supporter?
You're right.
You know,
but I'm just, you know.
You don't say that.
You do not say that.
He basically
was like, go make a cake.
And... It's just... No, you don't say that either.
No, and I'm saying that's what he was saying.
Yeah.
He was basically, Rachel, do you think I say that?
I don't know. I just, the whole thing. I mean, you're telling me that I should let Kasich comfort me. So I don't know. What do you say, Paloma?
In that situation with those three people.
It is such an awful situation to be in. It's like you're on the Titanic with...
Yes. But you're on the Titanic
with
and
a leaky
one of them
raft
has...
And
one of them has a dinky little boat. You're going to take the
guy. I thought you were
going to
say something else.
Yeah, no.
I thought you were going to talk about Trump.
Ooh.
Anyway, it's just been bothering me because
what you're trying to say is you're not pro Kasich.
I am not. I really just want it to be known that although Kasich might be the one that I go and sit next to on the Titanic, I still am just really not happy with him as a candidate.
Fair enough.
I could not bring myself to vote for him should I be forced to do something like that.
Here's the good news. Well, actually, I don't know if this is the good news or not. I don't think it's going to be a problem.
No, I don't think. Sorry, Kasich, but you know how he just keeps hanging on. He has this like really strange optimism about his campaign, like this blind sort of.
It makes me wonder if he knows something about a contested convention that we don't know.
He's just like, no, I'm going to stick with it.
Like if he's made some promises, I don't know.
But he just refuses. It's like the fewer delegates he has, the more conviction he has about staying in the race. It's like the kid who just won't give up the game.
That's right. Yeah. Well, I guess you kind of have to have respect for that. I don't really know what it is.
It's either optimism or stupidity.
I'm going to say a mixture of both.
Or bribery, like you said.
Honestly, I think there's something. Well, I know there's something we don't know, but I think there's something we don't know.
I want to know these secrets.
We're never going to know.
Or maybe I don't want to know these secrets. Especially if they involve Cruz. I really just don't want to know anything else.
There's no way. Okay, the first time I've ever liked John Boehner in my whole life.
Oh my God.
And I would never. Son of a bitch.
I never thought I would ever say the words like, way to go, Boehner.
I know.
And I'm sure everybody out there knows this, that Boehner essentially called, or not essentially, he did. He called Ted Cruz, quote, Lucifer in the flesh.
Yes.
The most miserable son of a bitch I've ever known.
But I've heard that from other people, too. Like, nobody his whole life has liked him, which makes you feel a little sorry for him. But then you're like, oh, I've heard you talk. I don't know that.
Paul, we just really need to get straight on this. There is no reason to feel sorry for Ted Cruz. Absolutely not.
Face,
I know. Listen,
you don't feel sorry for that face.
No, because that face is on him. That face had it coming. That face is him. And I just, so I know you, listen, for those of you out there who don't know, Paloma has a really kind heart. She's a sweetheart. And it just does you no good sometimes.
I know.
You need to just let it go. Okay. He's a jerk. I think it was the New York Times that had an article about him, about all the people who hate him in politics, in the Republican.
I know.
On the Republican side. And it's like when everybody in your own party actually loathes you, and yet you're the second leading candidate. Oh, God. What does that say about people?
Well, no, the first leading candidate is what says something about
people. Yeah, that's
true.
So it's like not really a surprise.
My week was full of heartbreak.
I know. Let's talk about that.
I'm going to give a eulogy. Bobby doesn't think I should give a eulogy yet, but for my sanity and my well-being, I have to.
Okay. And Bobby is your husband.
Yes, Bobby is my husband. Yes. I'm mourning the loss of Bernie Sanders.
I'm sorry.
So here's my thing. Since I've been voting, I've learned to vote for the lesser of two evils. That's how it works. You find the one that irritates you the least or that you think would destroy things the least.
Right.
And that's what I've always done. And I've always been a Democrat. I've always voted for Democrats. So that's been my thing. And then here comes Bernie Sanders. And before he was even a candidate, my mother would post things about him on Facebook. And I think, wow, this guy has it together. Mm-hmm. Somebody I can relate to. I respect and, you know, I align with him. And then he ran for presidency and or for the nomination.
Yeah.
And, you know, the first debate with Hillary, it just became apparent to me that she was, because I've always loved Hillary, but she just wasn't where I was at anymore. Yeah. And that there was actually a person, like an actual candidate who I was interested in and not somebody for my party to better my party. I actually genuinely believed in what this person was saying.
Right.
And him being up against Hillary, just hearing the difference, I could see that with her it was going to be politics as usual, which, you know, in one place is fine, but that's not where I am anymore. And seeing him say something different, it was inspiring, and it was this amazing thing to have somebody say the things that I've been thinking for so long. And
so it's not official that he's out of the
race.
No, it's
not official.
In fact, he's said that he wants to hold out until the convention.
He has to, and he should. Because
and he should. And I think he's run a pretty amazing campaign. And you and I have talked about this. I'm pretty on the fence when it comes to Bernie and Hillary. I have things that I feel about both of them. And I kind of worry about it on a practical level because I'm the same as you. It's like I've always voted for the person who I think can make life the least horrible in terms of the White House. And I love most of the things that Bernie has had to say. I worry about the actual politics of moving some of those things forward. And that, and you've, you know, you've said that's not a reason to vote for somebody or not to vote for somebody. And it's made me think about it quite a bit because, you know, the things that he stands for are things that I think ideally I would support and, you know, that I do support, that I believe in social justice issues. And I believe in, you know, less income, you know, less income, lack of equality, for lack of a better way of putting it. But, you know, having the playing field leveled for more people so that the wealthy don't hold all the power. And so the big corporations don't basically ruin everything for everybody else. So I like that Bernie has moved things a little bit to the left for Hillary.
Yes. And that's why he needs to stay in the race, right, is to keep her
like,
to
really,
the left.
It'd be nice if he stayed in the race, even let's just presume that she's getting the nomination. Let it, let him stay in the race and just keep pushing her along, you know, the entire way. I mean, I feel like she needs to be reminded why she's even in the position that she's in to begin with.
You know, the other thing I saw, so I read too many comments on Facebook threads and it makes me really upset and angry. But there was this one, it's actually a friend of mine that I know, and somebody was talking about, you know, why you should vote for Hillary because she'll get things done. And this person, it said it perfectly. He's like, well, yeah, of course she can get things done, but they're not the things I want done. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, yes, that's exactly how I feel.
Yeah.
Like, yes, of course she can get things done. She knows people. She's smart. I mean, she can get things done. It's just her agenda is not my agenda.
But I do think that some of her agenda aligns with his. I wish that it were more. But the reason why, you know, on Facebook, I see a lot of, if you're voting for, you know, it's like Bernie or bust, essentially. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not, if it's not Bernie, I'm not voting for anybody. And Hillary is evil and all those things that I see a lot of my Facebook friends post. And mm-hmm. I'm not one of those people who believes that. I believe, you know, she is pro-woman in the sense, you know, not just because of her woman card, which the woman card is awesome. I'm not going to lie. I'm really glad that I have one, you know.
Well, I'll be glad to, well, not, I know you're being facetious, but no. I will be happy to. That Rosalie will be born during a time where a woman is elected president. Where a woman that's going to be amazing.
Yeah, and where, I mean, there's an income gap. The income gap is shrinking, not enough. But, you know, I think, you know, we're in a different world than when I was born. And I am glad that Rosalie, you know, and my own niece, you know, my niece Audrey and my niece Scout, I mean, they're going to be coming of age in a world that I couldn't even imagine at mm-hmm. that time. And so for me, it's like Hillary has always been, you know, she's protected women's rights in terms of pro-choice. She's talked about the wage gap and other things that I think are important to me. And she's, you know, she's for income equality. There are a lot of things that I don't agree with. She's way more hawkish on foreign affairs than I care for. Mm-hmm. You know, I find it disturbing, to be honest.
Well, I also feel like Bernie Sanders has been on the right side of history throughout his career.
Yeah.
Even before he knew he needed to be.
Right. I mean, he's definitely not always voted with a popular vote and he's voted with his conscience. And you can't say that Hillary, you know, Hillary was for the war in Iraq mm-hmm. and, you know, that's not cool and I'm not going to try and excuse it, but I hope that perhaps she's had reflections upon that, that make her think differently and, you know, about choices that she's made. Yeah, that's what I have to say on that. I wish Bernie was still more of a legitimate contender at this point too.
Yes. So I that's where I'm at. I'm very sad. I had very high hopes. I truly believe in him and I'm very sad. Aww. But that's fine. I still get to vote for him in June.
I know. And I don't know. Ain't over yet.
No, it's not. But if Bernie is not the nominee, I'm going to vote for Hillary.
Okay.
And to be honest, I do not condemn the Bernie or bust people mm-hmm. because they're voting with their convictions and that's what people should do. However, for me personally, I am terrified of Trump versus Korea. That terrifies me. And okay. That's why I will be voting for Hillary Clinton if I have to.
Okay. So I want to go back to Trump, but I just want to go back to one thing that you said. So you are okay with the Bernie or bust people because
I'm not okay with them. I understand it.
But so if those people are voting for Trump instead of Bernie?
No, but that's ridiculous.
Okay. I just want to clarify.
No, no.
That.
When I say Bernie or bust,
so
I mean
people who just aren't going to vote,
Bernie
period.
Or bust. I don't mean Bernie or Trump.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
No, no. Because that is my sole purpose in voting for Hillary if he's gone.
Yeah.
I do not want Trump near the White House.
So I agree with you. And I'm fine if somebody says, okay, Bernie isn't on the ticket, I won't vote at all. Mm-hmm. I totally respect that. If somebody says Bernie's not on the ticket, therefore I'm voting for Trump, then I say, idiotic. Are you insane?
Yeah.
You know, what is wrong with you? Because I feel the same. I mean, Trump is, you know, it's almost redundant to get into a conversation about how scared I am and you are of him. I mean, the guy is just insane. And yet at the same time, he's insane, but there are some people who say that it's just an act and that he is politically savvy and is playing, you know, playing this game, and that's not what he's really like, and he's going to be more presidential. And it's like, well, why would you bring this charade into the race? Why sell yourself that way? And it scares me, the people that he's bringing out as voters as a result.
Well, so the thing is if that is a charade, then that's scary enough to me to not want to find out if it's real or not.
Right, right. It's just scary enough to me that would even be something that he would do, that he would appeal to a particular type of voter as a way to get votes. But I mean, it's confusing because there is the whole thing with the, you know, the LGBT rights in bathrooms in North Carolina, and somebody asked him what he thought about the law that they just passed about, you know, people having to use bathrooms that correspond with
the genital checking law?
Yeah, essentially. And his response to it was that people should use the bathroom that they're comfortable with. And it's like, oh, okay, so you've just gone really far to the left of what everybody else on the right is saying. How does that align with who you are as a politician? And I'm just confused.
Well, there are some things that he does that are very common sense. I think that's where a lot of people flock to him, because that is a common sense approach to it. And actually, to be honest, that shouldn't be a Republican issue. Republicans should not want to monitor your bathroom habits.
But they do.
But I mean, government, if you are a Republican who believes in small government, actually, to be honest, abortion should truly be a Republican issue if you're thinking about it.
The
government shouldn't be controlling.
But it has been for the last however many decades.
But
that puzzling. So theoretically it shouldn't be, but historically it is. Yes. And so Trump actually making a comment like that is confusing to me. And, it's like, is this the real Trump or is that the real Trump? And I don't want to know. I don't want to know. I'm scared of him on two levels. I'm scared because of the majority of things that he has said and the things about how, you know, his comments on foreign policy, where basically it's his way or the highway, and people, you know, leaders of foreign countries will have to agree with him. And, you know, obviously all the comments that he's made about immigrants and women. I mean, all those things scare
me. Oh, you mean illegals?
Illegals, yeah. And the woman card. And
that was almost humorous. I mean, seriously, he really thought that was okay to say.
What? Which one?
The woman card?
No, he's not only thought it was okay to say, he took that line and kept repeating it all week long. He's like, I got a hit here. This is like, I'll be here all week. Have you heard the one about the woman card? he's all for it. Of course he thought it was okay.
I just flew in and boy is my woman card tired.
and then he says something like, you're right, he says something that actually has common sense, and it's like, wait, what? Who are you?
Yeah.
What? I just don't, but he scares me because it's like the people that he does appeal to, those people who are voting for him, it's like, why are you, the base that you bring out is frightening.
Yeah, there's some ugly people coming out of the woodwork on my Facebook page. Thank you.
Yeah, I think I saw a few this week. I think I did.
I told you, the mountain people.
The mountain people. Oh,
and
my gosh.
The person who actually said something is actually a woman who I have always revered as like this really powerful, strong woman who never even, like, feminism was never even a part of her world because she just lived what she did.
Yeah.
Like, that was nothing she even needed to think about because she was like a trailblazer.
Yeah.
And I was just shocked that.
And so she's pro.
Very pro. Wow. Enough to the point where she told me that. Not to let the door hit me on my butt when I moved to Naboo, the fictional planet from Star Wars. But anyway, whatever.
Okay.
Yeah. So, that's that, huh?
So we're assuming that it's going to be Trump as the nominee. Yes. I mean, he's essentially one primary away from it. And yet.
Oh, my God.
That does not stop.
The dessert for the week. I would say
it does not stop Ted Cruz for, like John Kasich, holding on to this really baffling optimism.
Yes.
He's baffling so optimistic that he's going to get the nomination that he announced a running mate.
Oh my God.
I think everybody just sort of scratched their heads at that one. Like, all right, you go ahead and do that.
You know, there is something to be said for that kind of self-esteem.
Yeah, there's. Well, I think I was talking to Corey about it this week, and his his take on it or his demeanor reminds me of Tracy Flick in the movie Election. So he's essentially Reese Witherspoon in Election.
Oh my God. Except she's even more likable. Right,
like, barely. But it's like, vote for Cruz, vote for Flick. So he's like, I'm going to announce my running mate. And of all the people that he announces is Carly Fiorina, which to me is like, okay, you got a woman on your ticket.
Well, didn't he do that the day after the woman card?
I think you're right.
You know what's so funny is he's not calculated. I wouldn't say he's predictable. Or not even predictable. He's astonishingly stupid.
I was going to say dumb, but I think you worded it better.
I mean, I don't know what else to say.
Yeah. But it is sort of like the most obvious choice that he could have had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I loved it. Actually, what I heard him say is after the John Boehner thing, he's like, and he's not saying that to me. He's saying that to all of you.
Wait, what?
And to be honest, I really don't get his logic, so I'm not going to explain it. Right.
So he's saying that John Boehner wasn't saying that about him, well, except for the part where he was saying it about him.
Well, yeah, but yeah, I think he was trying to say that, you know, he's not calling me out. He's calling all of you out for voting for me kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, good one.
Good one. Vote for Flick.
Yeah, that's really funny.
Well, you know, bless his heart. He thinks he still has
not
a
even
chance.
Bless his heart. It's sad now.
Yeah. Like I said, bless
Doesn't
his heart.
Doesn't he have a family?
Yeah, but they don't want to be around him either. You've seen his kids, so like, swat him away.
Well, you know what? That was the one time where Bobby and I felt sympathy for him.
No.
Because Rosalie's pulled some bullshit before.
No.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I am
if that
sorry.
Happened.
You can, you and your sympathy.
Me and my bleeding heart.
Yeah. I felt like if your own kid is doing everything she can to keep you away from her. And the thing is, here's why I say that. Because if she were a teenager, I would say, okay, she's being a typical, like, kind of moody teenager, but she's like under 10, I think, or 10. Yeah. So she's not at the age yet where she should just absolutely loathe her parents.
Rachel, I don't think
I'd be embarrassed by them.
But kids are assholes. I don't think you know that. This is a true story here.
I've had moments where I realize it.
Okay. I happen to own one of these assholes.
You own an asshole. You have the asshole card.
Yes. I know what this is about.
Yeah.
I would not put it past Rosalie to do that to me. So, and she loves me and I adore her. But
however, she might embarrass you on like national TV.
And not even bat an eye.
Yeah.
Like,
now that you say it, I think I might agree with you on that.
See?
Yeah.
But he's still a horrible human being. Maybe she knows more than we think she knows.
That was my thought.
But at this point, I'm going to push that situation to the side and.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
I can't do it.
Okay.
In other sad news.
Oh, do we have to go to this part of the- I'm
I
so
know.
Sad still. I really am.
I know.
So, yeah. Prince. I'm really sad. And we talked a little bit about this before we started recording tonight, but I think we both have like this really deep love for Prince, and we both grew up with him.
Yeah.
And we talked about, you mentioned the...
Well, my sister was a huge Prince fan, and she was 9 years older than me. So yeah. I was like this dinky little kid, and she was like way into it because she's in high school.
Yeah.
And we only owned a few like VHS tapes, but Purple Rain was one of them. The other one was 16 Candles. So both of those movies,
perfect.
I know every word to the whole movie.
Well, so your sister and I are almost the same age, I think.
Yeah,
and
I think so.
So 16 Candles is also a huge favorite of mine.
Yeah.
But I remember Purple Rain, my best friend and I at the time went to go see it in the theater. I think we saw it a couple of times in the theater. And then later she had it on VHS. And I still remember the summer that she got it, like every day at her house watching it. I mean, we knew. I had the soundtrack. You know, all the words to it. But it was like my love for him goes beyond that. Like I actually, before Purple Rain, I had the 1999 cassette. I gave it to my friend Marion. She never gave it back.
Oh.
But you know, it's okay. We're cool.
Okay. You need to call her?
No. We had she and I had a conversation on Facebook after Prince's death.
Okay.
Because she was one of the first people that I thought of. And then my friend Rosanna, I thought of her. And it just brought me back to this place of Prince being like somebody who just shaped like my musical my musical outlook, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I just loved his music, and I loved it even when I wasn't keeping up with everything he did.
Of course. Well, yeah. Well, Bobby and I talk about it because Bobby is a huge Prince fan.
Right.
And he kept buying his albums, and they kept getting more obscure because mm-hmm. it's just him recording, not trying to make money.
Right. Not like, having to be with a label, so doing whatever
exactly,
he wanted.
Like his true art form. He was doing it. Yeah. And then, but some of the albums are just like, oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Well, I can only imagine the stuff that's in his vault. So he supposedly, yeah. you know, he has this vault that has just years and years and decades worth of recordings that have never been released, have never, you know, been heard by people outside of Paisley Park, I guess. And now there's a question of who will run the estate. He had no will, which, you know, is crazy considering yeah. how much money he was worth.
Can I tell you something? There's a weird conspiracy theory brought to my attention. And you know how I feel about conspiracy
okay,
theories.
Okay, is this the chemtrails like one?
No. It's about Prince.
That's what I'm saying. The chemtrails.
There's a what?
Okay, well,
you know more than I know.
No, you tell me your conspiracy theory first,
okay.
and then I'll tell you
Mine
my conspiracy
that
theory.
He had AIDS and refused treatment because he was Jehovah's Witness.
Okay.
So what's your, what the, what?
Okay, so let's back up a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, we have to way up.
So what I had heard, this is not the conspiracy theory, was that he needed a hip replacement and refused the hip replacement, or didn't want to get the hip replacement because he would have to get a blood transfusion. And as a Jehovah's Witness, he didn't want a blood transfusion. And so therefore he was addicted to the opiates, the painkillers.
Okay. Yours is a little more plausible than mine.
Maybe. And I feel really bad sort of being gossipy about it. But this is what I've heard and what's been reported in the media. And they haven't had the toxicology reports from his autopsy yet. But the word is that he may have been addicted to painkillers.
Yeah, just kidding. This is actually horrible.
It's, you know, and the whole point of it is that we just wanted to pay a little tribute to Prince.
Yeah, we should have. Look what happened.
And, you know, I loved his music so much. And I still do, and I'm just...
He was a musical genius.
And I'm excited that I got to be on the planet at the same time that he was, and I got to experience a lot of his music, and the genius... I never got to see him. I never got to see him either. I was too poor when I was in high school to, like... I could afford to go to a movie, but I couldn't afford to go to a concert like that. But
I think I was too chicken shit to go to concerts when I was little anyway.
Well, I mean, I think if I had had money when I was in high school, I would have gone, but, you know, those weren't the cards. Those weren't the teenage girl cards.
Those weren't the women cards you were dealt.
Those were the cards that I was dealt. But I got to see him perform on TV, and I got to see Purple Rain. I even got to see Under the Cherry Moon, which is maybe not the best form of cinema, but I still loved him. So.
Interesting.
He was dynamic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know what's funny, though, is a lot of women have talked about how, like, he was so sexy. I was never sexually attracted to him.
Huh. I would say that I was.
Really? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, although like, now is like, you know, in a way that the girl who does my hair, Adrienne, she and I had this conversation yesterday, and she was saying the first time she saw the album cover Controversy, and I don't know how old she was, but she said she looked at it and thought, I'm probably going to get this wrong, but she said, like, thought, oh, this is somebody who does really bad things and I like it.
Oh,
and I was like, yes, that's exactly it.
Wow.
Yeah. So, like, as a young teenage girl, I was like maybe a little curious.
Horny? Yeah.
Okay, fine. God.
Wow.
Can't let my mom listen to this episode either.
You'll be all right.
I will.
Oh, well, thanks for sharing that. I think we've done all that we can do here.
I think we've done a lot more than we should have done.
You know what, though? To clear the air between you and I, let's have this out right here.
Okay,
right now.
Fine. Okay.
I'm not Bernie or bust. I do not support people who are not voting for Bernie and voting for Trump.
Okay.
And I understand where you're coming from with Kasich.
Got it. And I, on the other hand, am really sorry that Bernie did not go further, but I hope that he stays an important part of the race, because I think that he's made the conversation that much more elevated and important. And we're talking about things. We're forcing a candidate like Hillary to re-examine some of her positions and actions. And so I hope that he continues to have that influence
so
on her.
So we're still friends?
I think we're still friends.
You're not going to come out on my Facebook page and...
This is not the end of Good Girls Don't.
Okay.
And then the podcast was over because... We've fought about much worse.
Yeah, much
less.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
Like, much less.
We've fought a lot more about much less.
Correct.
Wait. Yeah.
We've fought about some stupid crap.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Oh, well, let's go go fight about something else.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Good night. Thanks for listening. Good Girls Don't was engineered by Bobby Jordan. It was produced by Paloma Jordan and Rachel LeBrock. Child care services were provided tonight by Bobby Jordan and Corey Vick.
Tag team.
And
Corey Vick, your loving husband.
My loving husband, for those who don't know. So thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Good night.
Wait, is it for those who don't know that he's loving or for those that don't know he's your husband?
Both.
Okay. Thanks for clearing that up.
You're welcome.